Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean the Natural Vet, who's an integrative, holistic vet who can help you make good decisions for your pet's wellness. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here every week to take your calls about your pets, and we'll answer on the air any question you send us to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Also send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. Please check out all the wonderful pet shows I co-host every week on our network. Stay tuned tonight for my NPR show, Dog Talk and Kitties Too. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, companies we've invited to be here. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Hello, Dr. Sean. We missed you last week when we were having our minds read and our pets' minds read. What were you doing? Something fun?
You know, it's been so long ago. I know I played golf, which was a lot of fun. Yeah, the golf was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Oh, nice.
And I probably just did a lot of writing, you know, kind of like you. I stay busy with all these other things that help our radio show and help promote the great avenue of pet care we're always trying to talk about. So
and educate
I stay busy
people.
Even when I'm off. Yes,
and you have a blog. Like, this is something we need to get connected more onto the radio show for people to know when you've written a blog. For example, what was this week's, if you can remember that far away, what was this week's or is this week's blog about?
You know, I believe I try to post – sometimes I'll post several at a time, then not do something for another week. I know we talked about the 6 rules of cancer, which we talked about 2 weeks ago when I was on the show before I took my little weekly break. And then we've talked about some natural alternatives to antibiotics. I talked about my flea and tick spray that's now available to let people know about a natural alternative for flea and tick control. And
well,
just about
talk,
how bad the fleas and ticks are going to be this
yes,
summer,
let's
this
talk about
summer.
That because – the weather is so nutty everywhere across the country. If you're listening at the Halo pop-up store, where we're very excited to be simul-broadcasting into the Halo City Tales New York City pop-up store at 47th and Lexington at the corner of the Roger Smith Hotel, if you're just walking by and you're wondering, what are you listening to? You're listening to the Radio Pet Lady Network, and I am here with Dr. Sean, the Natural Vet. Maybe you used to hear us on Sirius. We're on our very own network now, and you can listen from any device, apps available any minute. That's the truth. Apps are coming. Free apps. Yes, siree. But if you're at the Halo City Tales pop-up shop and you're there to adopt or you're there to make a donation to the Halo Pet Foundation, which goes to shelters and rescues, we're delighted you're there. We hope you'll join us. We can answer almost any question. We're just that clever. 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Sean, natural flea spray. Interesting, because one of our sponsors is Vectra for cats and Vectra 3D and Vectra for dogs. But a lot of people are absolutely adamant about not wanting to use a chemical protectant or repellent against fleas. Let's leave aside ticks, separate issue. And so the fact that you've developed a natural alternative is really valuable for those people who say, I won't put on the top of them. I don't care how many fleas bite my dog or my cat. So tell what is it you've created?
Okay, well, first of all, as you know, Vectra is one of our sponsors. It's actually one of the better topicals. It's a very, very safe product. And while I don't like to overuse chemicals in pets, we obviously understand that sometimes, like this summer, which is going to be very bad for fleas and ticks, even worse than last summer. Last summer was a bad one compared to prior years. Sometimes we need to do that. So Vectra is something you can talk to your doctor about, apply it, use it as needed. Don't want to overuse it, but don't be afraid to use these products because Vectra is very, very safe and it's meant to be used in a safe fashion. But what about in between using Vectra? What about you're bathing your pet, you're using the Vectra,
right?
But you'll still see a flea or tick on your pet. Okay, if you want to do something natural, I've developed a flea and tick spray, and I'll tell everybody what's in it here in a minute. But it's meant to be used for very, very mild problems. Maybe if you're not wanting to use something topical, the flea and tick spray would be great. Or you can't put Vectra on your pet every day. Obviously, that could be toxic. So use it per label instructions. And then if you're seeing a little pest on your pet or you're going out for a walk and just want to have something extra that would give a quick kill, you can use the flea and tick spray as much as you want. Usually this spray will basically paralyze the pet. It doesn't kill them immediately, but it will kill them and allows you to stun the flea or tick, take off, dispose of it, etc. And what's nice is you can use the flea and tick spray with Vectra or any other chemicals you may use, because it is very, very safe. There are actually no chemicals in this product. It's all natural. It's water-based, unlike a lot of flea and tick sprays, which are alcohol-based, so it doesn't sting the pet. Many of these pets with flea and tick problems have itchy skin. They're red. They have some open sores. We don't want to be spraying alcohol on those. Right. So the flea and tick spray I developed contains several different herbs. It actually, I think, have more herbs in it than any product I've seen so far. It has peppermint, spearmint, lemongrass, lemon eucalyptus, cedar, and clove. And it's a really nice minty smell. And the nice thing is you can use it 100 times a day if you need to. It's not going to hurt your pet. It dries. It evaporates. It's gone. You can use it again as you need to.
Can you use it environmentally? Can you spray it on the bed or in the yard?
Well, it's not big enough for the yard. I mean, you have to buy like a gallon of this.
Right, that would be silly.
You can put it on the pet's bed. Or I'll even use it around the house or even my office. Right now in Texas, we get these little spring, summer little bugs and roaches in our office. No matter how good you are, no matter how clean you are, they're coming through the cracks in the doors and the windows. So we'll just spray the pests with that. That'll stun them, and then we get rid of the pests. So you can use it environmentally that way too.
Oh, I like that, because even if you're – I mean, leaving aside the flea and tick on your pet issue, it would be amazing to have a natural product you could use if there was like a wasp coming around your picnic table. My husband always goes to get the Windex, which is most bizarre. But that's something that – I don't know. He learned somewhere, but I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to be spraying Windex in the middle of the air. But it would be really cool to have something that's been developed that's all natural that would stun or paralyze the bugs.
And what's really nice is I see a lot of clients that come to me because they have chemical sensitivities. Many of these people have Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, and they can't tolerate chemicals.
Oh, I see.
So even though we like products like Vectra, if the person has a chemical sensitivity, these herbal sprays usually are not going to be a problem because they're chemical-free. So it's great for the household that's trying to get green, trying not to use a lot of chemicals for whatever reason, or has people in there with these chronic diseases where they don't need extra chemical exposure.
Well, the other thing is that if you're in a state like Southern California, where I used to live, in the hot, dry summer months, you can be walking your dog on a beach or on a hiking path, and there's fleas in the sand. There's a lot of fleas around. And Vectra can only do so much. It has a repellent quality, and it does kill any bug that touches it, but it has to come into contact with the dog. But the legs of the dog, which are where they're walking on the ground, their legs are – I mean, it doesn't disperse all the way down the meat of their legs all the way down to their paws. So if you were to spray with your flea and tick spray on their paws so that as they walked in these pretty much infested areas – because the other thing about a topical like Vectra is they'll say – it cannot – if you're going to go into a heavily infested area of ticks or fleas, you need to deal with that area. I mean, the dog is not going to be like Superman in a bubble. So having that flea and tick spray on their legs and on their feet, if you're going to walk into areas that are known to have pests in it, that would be a really great extra level of defense.
And I think what I really would suggest doing – that's right. Once they're coming from – the hike in the woods, which we have some nice hiking trails around here in Plano quite a bit actually, or going to the farm, check your pet over for fleas and ticks, especially in between the toes, in and around the ears for ticks. If you're seeing any, you can use a flea comb, whatever, to get rid of them, but spray those things so they're not jumping back on the pet or on you. Kill them, paralyze them. Then you're bringing home a clean pet, and you don't have to do as much environmental control at home, which is where, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money doing that. So if you don't have to do that, let's try not to do that. But if you need to treat the house as well, we're going to have flea and tick problems this summer. We understand that. Let's go ahead and get things under control. But treat your pet before you're bringing them back in. That's actually a great idea.
And people that go, we should talk about it on Dog Travel Experts tomorrow night, because a lot of the things that Paris and I talk about, it's not just travel in an airplane to Europe. It's travel in your car to the beach, travel in your car to a state park, travel in your car to the dog park. And those situations, there can be a lot of parasites, a lot of infestation that spray would both protect their feet and legs while they're walking around in it, but then before they get back in the vehicle, like you say, there's the vehicle before you get back to the house, and you don't want them to be getting into the car.
Right.
So that's a really cool extra measure of protection.
Yes.
I really like that. And is it the oils, the pepperminty oils that paralyze the bugs?
It's really the combination of them. A lot of people are familiar with cedar because cedar does kill insects. If you put cedar wood chips in your yard for mulch, you have a cedar chest or a cedar closet. Right. That does help keep moths and parasites down. But what I tried to do, you know, with these products, I always look at the marketplace before I develop a product for my practice and my clients and now our listeners to see what's on the market. And I always ask myself a question. Can I do something better, stronger, safer, more pleasant, et cetera?
Right.
Then I go back to all of my herb books and all my herb notes and say, okay, we're going to deal with fleas and ticks. What are some herbs that have insecticidal properties that are safe? So I get rid of the ones that are potentially toxic. And then I literally experiment like a chemist and mix products. And number one, I test them with people to see if they like the scent of it. Because if you don't like the scent, you're not going to use it.
That's right.
Then we test it on literally – pets with fleas and ticks or the fleas and ticks themselves and go ahead and make sure they're doing something. So this formula probably took me, I'm sure, several months to put together, and I probably threw away a lot that didn't kill the pets as much as I like or didn't smell real good. So I really like the scent of this. So it's been through a lot of testing. Clinically it works. You know, does it kill every flea or tick? Well, nothing does, but it helps control in a natural way all these problems we're going to have this summer.
So you do your own little experiment like that.
Yeah, I do. I have to
do that myself.
But I actually like doing it so I can tell people I've tried all this stuff. I know it works, or if it didn't work, I throw it away and try something else.
Yeah, which is great because if you are that kind of chemist-minded person, you have your row of bottles. You have your Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory, right? You can make anything down there.
Well, it's not quite that gory, but you know, we do have a little area in the back of the hospital that no one's allowed to visit, except on Halloween.
That's right, and goodness only knows what will come out of there.
That's
Here's the number that you can call Dr. Sean and myself if you have any medical questions or behavior questions about your dogs and cats, or actually, in his case, birds, but then I just have to be totally silent because I would be able to add nothing to the conversation. 888-627-6008. I had a email today. Sometimes when people email, I say, well, call in tonight. We'll talk about it tonight. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they can't. They have night jobs or they've got kids to take care of. And it's a cat problem. But I think it's fun to answer them on the air when people take the time to write in.
Absolutely.
She said, I read about you on some forum about cats. Well, I'm always so curious. What forum about cats? Well, good. At least they're talking about me. You know, like they say, it doesn't matter what they're saying as long as they're talking about you. I'm looking for some help with my 3-year-old Maine Coon. She was adopted by us in March of this year. The previous owner abused her a lot. I don't know what that means. When people say that, you know, they think that because
an animal – I think every pet out there has been abused if you talk to pet owners.
Yeah, isn't it a weird thing? She says she's so scared of us, especially my boyfriend. Well, there, you know, the word scaredy cat, it's in our dialogue for a reason. Cats can be very scaredy. They can act very jumpy and not like new people and run under beds or climb up a tree. I don't want people to think when they adopt a cat or a dog that's fearful that they should feel sorry for it every minute that it's been abused. People don't necessarily abuse pets when they abandon them. They just are, you know, irresponsible or uncaring or thoughtless. But I don't think they sit around hurting them. Do you think that's true too, Sean? Do people come to you with dogs and cats and go, oh, it's abused and I've saved it? It's great to adopt and you have saved it from no home, but they haven't necessarily been abused. I don't think we should all go around with this guilt complex.
I think that a lot of times they'll say they're abused or he doesn't like men because he was beaten by a man. Well, you know, I don't think most of the pets I see whose owners have told me they were abused really were abused. Maybe the pet's got a fear biting issue or they're shy or stressed out. Or, oh, well, he had to be beaten in his life. Well, no, he didn't have to be beaten. He could have just been born that way or not been trained properly.
Exactly.
There are pets like, unfortunately, children and people who are abused. Something we've never talked about in the show, and I'll just mention briefly, you know, if we see animal abuse, especially chronic animal abuse, that actually is a precursor to people abuse and actually to murder, to people, these mass murderers, psychopaths start off hurting and killing animals. So we see that, we do need to let the authorities know. But truthfully, you know, even though I don't tell people to spank their dogs or whatever, there's a difference between discipline, good or bad, proper or not, right. and actually abusing an animal. So, no, exactly. I don't think most shy or scared pets are abused. I think something along the way wasn't done properly for training. Those pets need to be trained properly.
Right. And in the case of a Maine Coon cat, which the vast majority are super friendly and very outgoing, this could be one who wasn't socialized properly as a kitten. So it's a little bit feral. So it's a little scared of people. The reason I picked that apart and obviously haven't gotten to the meat of her question yet, which we will in a moment, is because I think that when people believe that they misunderstand animal body language or behavior and think that the animal must have been abused, they then don't want to be a firm owner who sets boundaries. This is more true with dogs than with cats. So they don't want to ever reprimand or tell the dog to go to their bed or tell the dog not to bark or not to, you know, chew something. Oh, poor thing, he was abused. Well, I can't be too tough on him. Really, making rules and being very firm and clear about boundaries with animals, as with children, is actually a relief to them. They know, you know, what the rules are and how to follow the rules in that house. You know, you sit before you get a treat kind of thing. We need to go to a break. When we get back, I'm going to read the rest of her letter, but she's very stressed, and we actually do have a solution. Well, she says that the kitty is stressed. For the first month, she was under the bed and left the area only at nighttime. This is very common in newly adopted cats. People need to have a lot more empathy or compassion for what makes a kitty tick and how to make their house more cat friendly. So we're going to go off for a break. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a scaredy cat, let us know. We have a solution. It's right at petcarenaturally.com. It's called Feel Away. It really helps. 888-627-6008. After this break, we'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Woruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Woruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods. Woruva chooses not to make any dry food because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who have just left their litters. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back, Dr. Sean, the Natural Vet, and I. You're listening to Cat Chat and Dog Talk, and we're here for all you dog and cat lovers and owners, 888-627-6008, and all you folks hanging out in the Halo pop-up shop, don't be shy. Give us a call. You must have a question. Dr. Sean is a holistic veterinarian, and he knows all kinds of very cool things, lots of ways to solve problems that aren't necessarily the ones that your own vet may know about. So here's this scaredy cat that was adopted in March and spent the first month under the bed, wouldn't let us touch her, pick her, pet her, or approach her. It's a bit better. She started to walk around the house, and she does come out to greet us when we're back from work, but this is it. But that's really good. That's the thing she needs to realize, is that sometimes cat's adjustment is really slow. You can see by how stressed she is when we try to approach her. No, she just has still that anxiety. She's not, well, I guess you could call it stress. It is stress, I suppose, but she's really just saying, I'm not ready. She says, I tried rescue remedy. That's something I want to discuss with you, Sean, because that's a human product made of Bach flower.
Yes, correct.
And it was made for humans, and they're now trying to market it to pets, and I think it's the exact same product.
Well, there actually is a pet version, but you're right, it's the same thing. So either the human or the pet product is fine.
But it's sort of, you know, it's just one formulation. Jackson Galaxy has spirit essences that he and Dr. Gene Hovey on the same concept of Bach flower remedies put together. they must have 40 different ones. The bully remedy, the scaredy cat remedy, the, you know, low self-esteem. Oh, they're great. They're really good. There's actually one called low self-esteem.
Really? Is that for the pet or the owner?
Yeah, it's so funny. She said she needs to be combed and her nails clipped as all cats, but with her is impossible. Would you be able to give me some helpful advice? Well, the first helpful advice is the feel away diffusers that you sell on your website that are sold only through veterinarians. We just heard the ad for it, but it's a true fact. That was developed decades ago by the company that makes it, which is a French-based pharmaceutical company, and it's a synthetic version of this feel-good hormone that comes, or pheromone, that's in the cat's cheeks. And when the cat smells that, it makes them feel at home, like the thing that's been sprayed, whether it's the couch or the chair or someplace you want the cat to come and feel comfortable, is a place that's already home for them. And you have the diffusers on your website, which for a cat this uncomfortable would make a lot of sense to plug that in any room where the cat is hanging out. And right. In addition, there's a spray. So you put the diffuser in the room and it lasts 30 days. It's a little pricey, but what you're buying is like what Dr. Elizabeth calls it on Cat Crazy, like a Linus blanket from the Snoopy cartoons. It's a security blanket. That odor, that chemical scent for them is a feel-good smell, like, ah, this is good. And then the other thing to do is to get a NecoFlies toy, which is the official toy of Cat Crazy, and play with a wand toy with the cat. It's a great way for people who have a cat that is afraid to approach people or particularly scared of the boyfriend. By playing with a wand toy, and the video on the website of NecoFlies, N-E-K-O Flies, they're also one of our sponsors, and you can see, I believe, that video if you go to RadioPetLady.com. If not, I should make sure it's there. It shows you how to play with it to make the little critter on the end. There's spiders, there's butterflies, and dragonflies and mice. I think I said a spider, a centipede. They're going to be on the Today Show Monday morning, because the cat whisperer, who is a gal named Michelle Niggelschneider. Now there's a mouthful. She was she's going to be on Dog Talk soon, and she's also going to be a guest co-host on Cat Crazy July 1st. But she's been invited on the Today Show. She's that kind of a glamorous cat whisperer and going to be showing off a lot of ways to interact wonderfully with your kitty. And she'll be showing a NecoFly. So if you can catch the Today Show on this coming Monday morning, the 17th, is that this coming Monday? Oh, yes, it must be, right? Then you'll actually see a NecoFly being – and Jackson Galaxy uses them all the time on my cat from hell. That's one of the ways he deals with really, really freaked out cats. They haven't necessarily been abused, but they're pretty nutty. So the feel away is the way to make the whole household feel good and smell good. And basically, you just have to be so patient. As far as nail clipping and combing, Dr. Sean, do you have people with cats that are very hard to handle, bring them into the office so the vet techs can wrap them up properly in a towel and do them? Is that one of the services that a vet often offers?
Well, it depends. I mean, vets do offer that. It really kind of depends on the pet. I had a cat today, for example, that is one that we have to give a little bit of anesthetic gas to in order to handle, to draw blood, to treat, etc. There are probably, at least in my practice, about a dozen cats that I can't examine when they're awake. They just are just vicious in my office or sweet at home. But they've had, and I'm not going to say they were abused because we were just talking about
right,
that.
But right.
Obviously, something happened to them at a prior vet's visit, or they were just never socialized with going to the vet. And this is probably a good time to bring up. If you have a pet that's young, bring the vet, not just for a shot,
but come in,
say hello, let's weigh the pet,
give it a treat,
go home.
So when I
have pets that are like that, and this is easier with dogs than with cats for some reason, it's probably just their own disposition, I try to tell the people, look, you live right down the block, go for a walk, bring your dog here. That way I'm not always poking on it, sticking it. It may not even see me half the time.
Advice.
It's just coming in and just chilling out for a little bit, get a treat and go home.
And realizing that all the other animal smells in the office, instead of freaking them out, are kind of fabulous. My dogs love going to the vet. Smells so good, and all the people that come in there smell like another pet because everyone's a pet owner, even if their pet's not with them. So they sniff the people, and they sniff the floor, and it's like, wow, a holiday. And I have pretty high strung dogs, Weimaraners, and
yeah.
They're always they're so calm in the vet's office and really quite happy to be there. Of course, I bring them all in always together. If I bring just one, they get a little trembly because they think, where's the rest of my pack? This must be really bad. Why am I here? I want to give the number again because we had a call from Rihanna and then we lost her call. So Rihanna, give us a try again. 888-627-6008. Now you have a webinar also, yes?
Actually, I do. This is really exciting. I'm doing a webinar Thursday night for a website called the Doggington Post. Isn't that cute?
Oh, that's adorable.
It's all about dogs. It's the Doggington Post.
And they asked me if Doggington.
Doggington, kind of like Washington Post, but it's Doggington Post.
I love it. We'll get our social media guru to get the word out. And how do people listen?
It's absolutely free. You go to the Doggington Post. It'll tell you on there about webinars that they've had before so you can listen to prior ones. And mine's coming up. We're going to talk about a natural approach to allergies at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time this Thursday night, absolutely free. And I'm going to present a little PowerPoint presentation. Then we're going to have about 15, 20 minutes for Q&A. So I think it'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. They've already got a number of people signed up, but there's no limit on who can sign up. So just go there and sign up.
The Doggington Post. Oh, we're definitely going to get the word out on social media. Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah, do that for me. Let your email know.
She's our network webinar. I mean, she's our network social media woman. And it'd be great. And people listening to this podcast later, because I know a lot of people can't listen live. They've got kids to get to bed or they work late. So you may be listening to this on podcast. We already have a lot of people that listen to a lot of our shows later on podcast. That'll still only be later Tuesday night kind of thing. So you still have until Thursday evening to be able to go and participate. That is really cool. Hey, I might just have a listen. Well, can you give us a little preview of some natural things you're going to be talking about?
Well, sure. What we're going to do is actually go through so people understand why dogs get allergies. How do allergies work? And we're going to talk about the physiology just a little bit, not to overwhelm people. I've got some really cute graphics that show kind of what's going on in your pet's body.
Cute.
We've got some real interesting not too gross pictures of dogs with allergies and skin problems. So you may not want to eat right as we're doing the talk, but I'm going to go through that pretty fast. And then we're going to focus on some of the conventional drugs that are used to treat allergies, why those could be good or could be harmful, how to use those safely if we need to use them, and then talk about a lot of different natural therapies, some of which I've developed, some of the various herbal products, of course, my shampoo, and a lot of things you can do just really to try to help your pets with skin disease. Then, like I said, open it up and try to help people answer whatever questions come up.
That is really
so it's very
cool.
Interactive. So you can be on there, be on your website, and go back and forth and ask questions. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's the first time I've done it for them. So I had a little trial, kind of dry run today. But if everything works well and with computers, you know, who knows? But it should work well. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's a great idea. The other thing we should ask them if they'd like to put on their website is our new player. We now have a widget that anyone can put on their website. Well, of course, we're going to invite people to do it. Not just anybody can have it. But the Doggington Post would be a great place. It's a player where they click, and they'll immediately be listening to the Radio Pet Lady Network. They don't even have to go to our website. They could just listen.
Remind me, I'll send that to them after my thing.
That would be really great. Yeah, that'd be super, because then people will cross-pollinate our listeners and their readers. And I'm sure it's a very fun website that I just don't happen to be familiar with. So it's always fun to learn about another dog-centric, entity.
And they're very, very interested, like, in education. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. They've had some good vets on there already talking about different topics. But they knew I kind of had some expertise in allergies. And I think I'm actually going to come back into the summer or fall and talk about cancer and diet. So that's kind of my next one. I'm kind of planning for them. We'll see what happens.
Ooh, that's something I would like a little preview of that as well. We're going to go off for another break. When we come back, here's our number, 888-627-6008. Bring us any sort of question. We'd love to help you with it. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat-A-Track litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. Dr. Sean Messonnier, the natural vet, and me, Tracy Hotchner, 888-627-6008. If you have any questions, tell a little bit about this gas that you can use on cats that are brought in that are really nervous. Do you blow it right into the carrier? So that they're kind of all dopey before you touch them? Or how does it work?
You know, you actually can do that. There actually is a trick to doing that. I've never done that, but there is a trick to doing that. But, you know, I have in my practice several what I like to call toys, or actually clinical objects that we use, clinical aids that I think back, you know, 50 years ago when I was born, and doctors back then didn't have these things. And I kind of wonder, how in the world did you practice without getting bitten and scratched? Maybe they didn't do it without getting bitten and scratched. But there's certain things in my practice now, I don't care what they cost, I'm going to have. And one of them is called an anesthetic induction chamber. We call it our gas box. And it looks like a big plastic aquarium with various holes in it and a lid that goes up and down. So what we do is we have the owner put the cat, or if it's a small dog that we need to give a little gas to, in this little box. And it's closed at the top. You can see through the all the way. So it's a plexiglass open container type of thing. And it has some holes at one end that you attach the anesthetic machine gas hoses to. You start to flood it with gas. They go to sleep. You take them out of the box. You put them on a mask. Or if you're doing surgery, you can put a tube in their throat. And that allows us to very safely do what we need to do. When we're ready to wake them up, we turn the gas off. We put the pet back in its carrier. We watch it wake up, never knows what we did to it, didn't scream when it's got his nails trimmed or got blood drawn. So it's very, very minimally stressful for the pet and for us compared to literally sitting on the pet, strangling it, trying to hold it down. You know, you don't need to be giving pets heart attacks to draw blood and trim their nails. There's safer ways to do that. I know so many owners get scared of sedation or anesthesia. It's an extra cost, but you know what? It's worth the extra cost. And one of the things I learned a long time ago, I used to treat a lot of birds. I actually lectured to veterinarians about birds as a result of my experiences. And one of the things with any pet, but especially a pet like a bird that's a prey animal, the worst thing that you can do, the most stressful thing you can do to a bird is hold it, restrain it. Because in the wild, birds need to fly away or they're going to get eaten up. Yep. If I'm forcing a bird to sit still in my hands, that bird is scared to death. And I've actually heard of, I've never seen, but I've heard of birds dropping over dead in the veterinarian's hand just for a nail trim. And I warn everybody, before I hold your bird, it can die with what I'm going to do, just trimming its nails. It's unlikely to, but if your bird gets that stressed, I've got to give it anesthesia because that is much safer, much less stressful. Nothing's totally safe, but much safer than giving your bird a heart attack. The same is true with these cats and little dogs that just are very, very stressed at the vet. You're right. You don't want to hurt them or kill them just for a simple procedure.
Wow. So you don't have to even, you know, like do a blow dart from across the room of anesthetic, like a wild, you know, cat running wild. You just place them in this box, which isn't particularly stressful, the box itself, and then the gas just makes them go to sleep. And then you take them out and continue the gas with a mask as if they were in an operating room.
Correct.
But it's a very low, low level. I mean, they're not deeply asleep, right?
No. Actually, they're not deeply asleep at all. I mean, I usually have to wait for them to get a little bit deeper. But, you know, they're not deep enough to do surgery on for sure. I mean, it's just enough
right,
where they're
exactly.
more strained and quiet.
Is anything like the so-called laughing gas that people that are terrified of the dentist get?
You know, you can use nitrous oxide, but it's really not going to mobilize the pathogen. Nitrous oxide in animals is best used with an anesthetic. I don't use it. It's just one extra gas to have. It's not going to really benefit me very much. I don't think most vets use it. In people, it's just, like you said, laughing gas calm, but it's not really to restrain you. It's kind of to take the edge off. But with pets, I need them to hold still for what I'm going to do.
That's
and to
right.
not remember what I'm going to do.
So they don't have any bad memory of being a vet. They don't have any, it's completely low stress. I mean, there are some veterinary behaviorists that, you know, advocate low stress handling. And one of the things that's come up on Cat Crazy is, you know, people with really scared cats. I mean, if there was the room for it, the people had the time, they come like half an hour early and they sit in a room and they keep the lights really low. I mean, there's so many things that make a vet's office so stressful for cats that it's a miracle that more of them don't freak out. Because
correct.
The smell of all the dogs, the sound of all the dogs and other cats that are in there, the bright lights, the strange hands, they're very sensitive to touch and to smell. I mean, really, in a lot of ways, more so than dogs. And they're not used to having strangers touch them. Dogs
right.
are out and about. They get more used to being touched or patted by people that are out there. So are you sort of known in your area for being that low-stress handler?
Yeah, I don't think other vets tell people that because they'd probably lose all their clients. But,
right.
you know, people know when
word
they come
gets
to
out.
Us. That's right. We're taking this natural, gentle, holistic approach. And especially we're known for among pet owners as a doctor's office that's not afraid to anesthetize old pets because so many doctors and
right.
people are scared. You know, every day I hear, oh, the pet's too old for anesthesia. I'm like, really? Why is that? Because if you're 80 years old, are you too old to go get a cancer removed and we're just going to let you
definitely
die? That doesn't
not.
Make any sense. So as long as it's done safely, and most vets are scared to death of old age anesthesia, we just do it for them. And I can tell you what, I've had in my lifetime, I think maybe 4 pets die under anesthesia. None of them were old. They were all under a year of age with the exception of one bird
wow.
I saw as an emergency that was very, very sick. So I've
they just
never had
something
an old pet
wrong
die.
With them. Something wrong with them that was
that's
previously
right.
known.
Or just an unusual, unexpected reaction to the anesthetic. And it's very, very troubling when that happens for a young, healthy pet. But it just shows you, you know, these old pets can be safely anesthetized. You have to be careful. And you have to change the anesthetic a little bit and know what you're doing. And yet it is kind of stressful. I'm not going to lie. But the owners know we're good at what we do. They know we use the least amount of anesthetic. And we just do the surgery quickly, wake them up, and they go home.
And you have a heart monitor, right? I mean, so you're able to...
Oh, yeah. We're monitoring their oxygen saturation, their heart. I have a living, breathing person there to monitor them as well. We're helping them breathe if needed. We're always constantly on top of what's happening.
So it's not just something done randomly.
No.
Talk a little bit about the exotics, because you're one of those rare vets that is focused on dogs and cats, but you're also known for doing birds and other exotic animals. Like, how many of your clients out of 100, how many have an exotic?
Probably 5% or less. I do exotic pets. I probably don't do as many as I used to just because I focused a lot of our marketing efforts on letting people know about the holistic approach.
Right.
And I haven't focused as much on the exotics. But we had a bird today. We had a bird last week. I had a turtle. The other day I got a little turtle surgery on Thursday. So
what?
We see them.
You had turtle surgery? That is
yeah.
I don't mean to say hilarious like funny, but it strikes me that way. What was your turtle surgery and like how big of a
this
pet
is
turtle
coming
was
up.
This?
This one's not too big. It was actually chewed up by a possum. So it's got some dead
oh.
tissue on its limbs. We have to kind of trim back a little bit.
Wow. And this is a pet turtle.
Correct.
And how did it get outside to be chewed
well,
up by a possum?
I think they leave it outside a lot. A lot of people leave them in their backyards, and some wild animal got in there.
And a possum will try to kill a turtle?
Yeah, you know, it's
a
wild animal.
Very,
it sees it.
sees lunch. I mean, lunch in a shell. Lunch served in its own dish.
Yeah, because a turtle was attacking the possum for sure.
No, that's for sure. Wow. So how big is the turtle? I mean, I'm trying to imagine it's not as big as a tortoise. It's not like one of those things you stop your car and move it off the road, or is it?
This one is probably a pound or two. It's not real big.
Little. And so
it's a decent size, common size I see for a lot of pet turtles.
And do they buy this in a pet store and then have it for life, or they find it in the wild?
You know, I don't remember where this one came from. Sometimes they'll find them in pet stores. Sometimes, like you said, they'll get them for life.
And am I the only one who wonders why would it be fun to have a turtle for a pet? I mean, like, what's in it for the human?
You know, I wish I could answer that. I don't know why people choose the pets they choose. They're just some bond they have.
Something
just really
that
like
just
this
rings
kind of
their
pet.
Bell. But I mean, when they come in, they're holding the turtle and is the turtle all tucked up in his shell?
No. This one's actually pretty friendly, which is unusual. Most of them tuck in their shell and they're very hard to do anything with. But, you know, I will say something here, not to label pet owners, but you always hear about how you kind of look like your pet and all. I will say that at least half the owners of the exotic pets I see, the snakes, the reptiles, no turtles, seem to have a number of body piercings and tattoos.
Ooh.
And often pay in cash. And oftentimes ride Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Not always. And I don't care. I'm just saying that's just kind
that's
of a representation.
So cute.
You know, when people are pulling out $100 bills, it's like, okay, you know, we take cash. That's fine. I don't know what you did to get the cash. I'm not going to ask.
I'm not going to ask. But you, but
not
like,
a big
deal. Do they drive up on their motorcycle with the snake wrapped around?
Yeah, sometimes they do that, yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of young girls, a lot of late teen, early 20s that are kind of into punk,
like
goth,
punk goth, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's just kind of the pet to have. They're good pet owners, you know. It's just interesting. You know, they're not going to come in with a ragdoll cat. They're going to come in with no.
Oh, is that divine?
Not at all.
So they come in, and sometimes the snake might be, what, in their backpack? I mean, or side pack or whatever's on it.
The pillowcase is real common, or around their neck is common. You just never know.
Wow. And why does a snake need to visit the vet?
Well, I wish they would visit when they're healthy. So they should visit once a year when they're healthy. They should visit when you have a new pet so you understand. Actually, you should come in before you buy the snake so you understand what you got to do. But usually and unfortunately, these are sick pets. These are pets that either weren't cared for properly because someone didn't know what she was doing and went by whatever the pet store said, which is usually.
Yes.
And these pets are very sick. The good news is most reptiles, except for some lizards like chameleons, I can save even when they're really sick. But the bad news is it's not cheap to do that. And you're
spending like what kind of thing could they have wrong with them? Like a rat is stuck in their stomach?
Well, like snakes, I'll tell you what. I've seen snakes that are fed live prey like mice and rats. If the snake's not hungry, the rat or the mouse will attack the snake and chew up its head. That's not good. They'll actually kill the snake. I'll see snakes with mouth rot, which is a real common disease where they get an oral infection or respiratory infection like pneumonia. A lot of them have parasites. Some of them have generalized septicemia. And it's fun for me to see these animals because it's a different thing.
Sure.
But pet owners don't realize this is not a cheap disease. You've got an expensive snake now for me to treat it properly. There's no cheap anything with these reptiles.
Really? Because
so
it's quite –
that before you get it.
Really? Because one would think of them as like a zero or extremely low maintenance. You just give
them
these.
Until they get sick.
Wow.
Then it's like, you know, they're hospitalized, they're getting fluids, they're getting expensive antibiotics. Well, you know,
gosh.
This little I had last week was about $1,000 for 3 days.
And what was wrong with it?
Well, because the owner didn't have tons of money, we didn't spend the money on diagnosing the bird's illness. We spent the money on keeping the bird alive. And I actually wasn't sure the bird was going to make it and told her that. But the bird did survive. We spoke to her yesterday morning, and the bird was doing better. We think it had a really bad infection, a septicemia. So we just treated it very, very aggressively. And so far, we're doing okay.
With IV antibiotics on a bird?
Well, we didn't use IV, but we did like injectable drugs.
Because how would you couldn't find a vein on a bird, or could you?
You can, but this bird, there's no way. It was so sick. It would have been in shock if I killed it to me even to try to find it.
What kind of a bird?
This was a little sun conure. Really, really neat, cute little bird.
Like not a parrot, something not parrot.
Well, you know, not a true parrot. It's a smaller bird, but a neat little bird.
Oh.
And she's got some other birds. So I said, no, keep us in mind for your other birds and try to come in before they get sick, obviously.
So if you own a pet bird, my father has a parrot. He's never taken it to the vet. Never. He has an African gray.
Well, he really should.
Because the vet will do what you do. You check their mouth
in
particular.
The vet has to have some expertise with birds. Most vets
don't. Yes, of course.
But yeah, you do a checkup on them, weigh them, examine their droppings. If the owner is open to doing a little bit more, we give them some gas anesthesia, draw blood, take x-rays, and just see if there's anything going on or establish a baseline.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what a really dedicated bird owner should do?
They should. They don't all do it. So sometimes I don't get to see them until they're dying. And it's like, well, you know, we're going to do what we can.
But they've gotten to the point where whatever the illness is has gone, taken, it's already well on its course.
Yeah. One thing we should tell owners of exotic pets, unlike dogs and cats, which might not feel good for a day or two. Maybe you're not sure if you should go to the doctor.
Yes.
You're going to wait. With birds, with a lot of these reptiles, with rabbits, you know, if your bird is sick today and you wait till tomorrow, your bird's probably dead. I mean, birds and exotic animals, keep in mind, they're still wild. Even though they're pets, they're much wilder than our domesticated dogs and cats. And in the wild, if an animal acts sick because it feels bad, it's going to get killed.
That's right.
So birds and these other animals have adapted what's called a survival instinct, where literally until they are near death, they're acting fine. So that's why I try to tell people, you know, when they call up and say, you know, my bird's on the bottom of the cage, get in here now. And I have to tell them, you know, even though I know you think this happened overnight, your bird's been sick for a few weeks and now it's dying. And the only way I can try to save a dying pet is to literally spend a lot of money and I still may not save your pet. Now, if we're seeing your pet on a regular basis, we might catch some problems before your bird's dying. But my own bird, you know, died, oh, probably 5 years ago, and that bird was healthy. We did regular checkups, and literally one day wasn't acting right, took it to work 2 days in a row, treated it aggressively. I had this feeling this wasn't going to work. The bird was eating. 5 minutes later, dropped over dead. And that's very common in birds. When owners say, well, you know, the bird's not moving around much, but he's still eating. I don't care if he's eating or not. 2 minutes later, your bird's dead. He just ate before he died because he has to act as normally as he can because he doesn't want to be killed by you or a predator.
Right. So his brain wiring is just keep up a good front. What kind of bird did you have?
I had a little peach-faced lovebird. It was given to me by a vet tech that couldn't keep it anymore as a hand-raised baby. Really sweet little bird.
And when you say treated aggressively, is antibiotics what you treat? You assume there's an infection?
Oxygen, heat, sometimes fungal drugs. It just depends. But it's usually an antibiotic type thing for the bird.
Poor little things.
Yeah.
We have to take a break next. Those of you who think we have challenges with our dogs and cats, golly, I didn't know birds could get that sick or that could die like that. And I didn't know that a snake could be attacked by his own dinner.
Yeah,
that his dinner could kill him. Yike. It's a jungle out there.
It really is.
We'll be right back after we take this quick break. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. Dr. Shaw, we just have a little bit of time left, but I'm wondering, are there any diseases that pass between pet birds and cats or dogs?
Not really. I mean, birds, if they have chlamydia, could transmit it to cats because cats can get chlamydia. I really more worry about diseases birds can transmit to their owners, like psittacosis, which is a chlamydial disease, or salmonella from animals such as reptiles, which is very common in reptiles. So, you know, you have to exercise some caution, especially with young children, especially if people have immunosuppressive therapy like cancer chemotherapy or an AIDS patient or someone like that. So, you know, we have to think about these things, talk about them with pet owners, and just use common sense.
Do the snakes have salmonella because they eat live mice and rats?
No,
that's not how they got salmonella.
It's just ubiquitous. They all have it. It's in their environment.
Really?
Yes.
So, gosh, I'm just still a little stunned at the idea that the rat or the mouse that's put in with the snake could attack it and even kill it. Because you don't give a live rat to a snake until he's so big that mice aren't enough dinner for him, right?
Correct. But even a little mouse will attack a snake if the snake's not interested.
Really?
Yeah.
And if a snake's not properly hungry, he will never eat unless he really
Correct.
Is empty and hungry, right?
That's right.
So are you supposed to feed snakes like on a schedule, like every 2 weeks a mouse or something?
Of course, there's many different types of snakes. Yeah, I mean,
it
depends on the snake and the size of the snakes. But in general, smaller snakes will get fed every week or two, bigger snakes every 1 to 2 months. I prefer the prey to be killed or frozen and thawed because of the problems with live prey. So if you're going to feed a snake a live rat or mouse, you need to make sure that snake kills that mouse or rat within a few minutes. I prefer not to do that because I don't want to stress out the poor prey animal that's about to become dinner. Although in the wild that happens, but we don't have to act that way at our houses. We can, you know, have pity on the poor rat or mouse and feed it freshly killed, or if it's frozen, thawed, you can buy it at a pet food store, that kind of thing.
Yike. Because there was also some talk, just to bring it back around to dogs and cats, about the fact that mouse is the most natural and best meat for a cat, because it's even got the taurine in it, like naturally
right.
in there. And I often had wondered whether you could feed to cats the whole frozen little mice that they feed to little snakes.
You could. Now, keep in mind, too, there's always the potential for some parasites from the mouse or rat. Unlikely, but could be a problem. I know for me, I'm not going to feed my cat a mouse or a snake, but, you know, it's bad enough opening up cans of cat food. You know, but and that's fine. I don't even know that my cats would know what to do with that since they've never hunted and they weren't trained that
right,
way.
Right, right. And they're ragdolls.
Technically, that's what they eat in the wild, so I guess you could.
Yeah. I guess you could. I mean, if the cat would be willing to eat it. But again, cats have a hard time that have even been on dry food all their life on kitty crack, and you try to transition them to meat from a can, and they don't recognize that as food. You can put down a piece of turkey, and they don't know what that is. So I imagine if you put down a little dead mouse, they wouldn't say, oh, yippee, and rub their little paws together and jump right in. No. By the way, for anyone who didn't have a chance to listen to Cat Crazy last night, we have a new fantastic project that is one of our – it's going to be like the pet charitable event for the whole year on Cat Crazy, and I hope on this show too. Go to pawproject.org, the most fantastic vet, Dr. Sean, who's working on outlawing declawing in this country with a fantastic documentary that she's made. She's already got most of the major counties in California to outlaw it, to make it against the law, as it is in the rest of the civilized world. Our country is the only one that doesn't only allow it, but encourages it within the AVMA because of the profit to the doctors and the terrible, terrible stress to the kitty. So pawproject.org, if you haven't been listening to Cat Crazy, we talked about it all last night. You can listen to that on podcast. It's a fantastic website with amazing photos and a documentary that you can bring soon to your local town, because they're going to be getting it in some sort of a social media way across the country. It's important for people to understand what declawing actually is and what it does to the cats. And I think that dinner in a can is probably the best solution for all cats, regardless of what's going on with their little paws. How are your kitties doing with your little doggy gone? Okay.
They seem to be doing all right. You know, the older cat Dice is fine. Little Willow's still crazy as ever. so, you know, everybody's, you know, healing. It takes some time, but
it does.
That happens. And, you know, we remember the good times, and she didn't suffer when she,
that's right,
she passed, which is always important.
And she passed in your arms, basically, and that's in your right. wife's arms. So
correct.
That was really lucky. I mean, really sad, but really lucky. What was her name?
Rita.
Rita, yeah, and it was with an R. Well, little Rita, she's gone up to puppy heaven, but it is touching when the other animals grieve. There is a spirit essence for that, too, if you can imagine it, grief remedy. But they probably aren't grieving enough to need it right now. Dr. Sean, thank you for another wonderful show. Wonderful to know about all the other critters in the world. Have a great night. Bye for
good night.
Now. Bye.